Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 15, where we see that we have been chosen, adopted into the family of God. And because of Jesus, we are accepted, redeemed, and able to stand fully forgiven in His sight because of the riches of His grace. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15.
Oh, I get this and I get that. And we can sort of receive that a little bit more readily and easily. He says, but Lord, for me to flip the coin here, if you would, and for them to be able to understand, Lord, that they, that's you this morning, are yours, that's His, that's God's this morning's inheritance. Well, that might be awfully tricky and difficult for the most. There might be some here today like, yeah, of course I'm God's inheritance. I've been stellar. I've been wonderful. I've earned it. I've deserved it. I'm so much better than the next. I've got nothing for you if that's you this morning. Nothing. I'm not going to preach to you today. I'm preaching to the heart that is hurting today. I'm preaching to the heart that is wondering today. I'm preaching to the heart that just needs to be reminded today. And I know that the Holy Spirit wants me to preach these things, so I'm going to preach them for the duration. God sees you as His inheritance. All of these things He gives to you, and it seems so uneven. It seems so one-sided. Because it's like, God, so what do you get in this whole deal? Just you. Just you. And even if nobody else in this whole entire room would choose God back, just you. So I'm reading through this, through the past several of days since Wednesday evening's Bible study ended, moved right into this, and the Lord gave me very, very pointedly, very vividly, Matthew chapter 13. You can come if you like, or you can stay where you are, because maybe you're thinking, what does Paul know? How does Paul know that this is how God feels? That's Paul speaking for God. Well, the first answer I'd give is that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God's Spirit, so that's how I would first answer you. But if you say, "Yeah, but what if it didn't mean what you think it meant? What if it means what some of those other really good theologians and commentators say, like that it's our inheritance in Christ, not Christ's inheritance with us?" That's fine. Then let's entertain that for a minute and use instead then what Christ says. Let's use what Jesus said. The letters are in red, so that means Jesus said it, right? I mean, here it is here in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is speaking parables here, and although verse 44 is speaking more specifically of Israel, the Hebrew people, it's not exclusively them. It includes you and I as believers too, but more specifically, it speaks of heavenly people in verses 45 and 6. But let's just look at verse 44, because if you notice something as a good Bible student, Jesus always speaks things in twos. So he's driving home a point here. He says this, again, the kingdom of heaven, verse 44, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. It's really like, it's not exactly this, but it's like this. It's like unto treasure hid in a field. We know that the word field is speaking of the world. It always does in Scripture. The which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field, because not that he's all obsessed with the field itself, but what he found in the field, the treasure that's in the field. That's what causes his heart to leap. That's what causes his heart to be filled with joy. And the writer of Hebrews will say to us at the end of the book, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. Who's the joy? What's the joy? You. Although it's speaking of the Hebrew people specifically, it's not exclusively here. It includes you too, positively. And he's saying this to you this morning, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter what you thought when you looked in the mirror this morning, the literal mirror, the physical mirror, or the spiritual mirror of God's word, no matter what the reflection was, no matter what you saw back, no matter what you thought when you evaluated, God says this to you, you are my treasure. You are my spiritual inheritance, and I gave it all up to get you. Gave what up? Matthew chapter 4. After 40 days of fasting, the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness, and the devil showed up. Tempted him with all sorts of things. Jump off this cliff, see what happens. Won't the angels come and save you? Turn this stone into bread. Aren't you hungry anyways? It's been over a month since you ate. He's on the verge of starvation. Didn't work. One last thing. Brings him to the heights of a mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil says, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you, as the God of this world, all of these kingdoms. You tell people sometimes, before I finish that thought, I love you to the moon and back. You ever say that to your kids, your grandkids? You ever tell somebody, I love you more than anything in this whole world? You ever use that expression before? We all have used that, and we really have never really been entertained of loving something in that sense more so than that person, because we really can't have everything in this world. We really can't go to the moon and back. Jesus Christ had the opportunity to gain literally the whole world without going to the cross. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, and he used the word of God again to defeat him, to stay the course, not to gain the world, but what's in the world, you. You all with me so far? I'm using a lot of scripture because scripture is the best commentary of scripture. I'm telling you what the Bible says about you this morning, how Jesus feels toward you today. If he was after the world or something in the world, that would have been his opportunity. If it was like a power trip thing that God was on, that's why he came, to gain a bunch of little followers after him, little mini Christ, so that he could build this kingdom and have all this respect and be prestigious and gain back what he forfeited in heaven, he could have done it right there. It would have been done and over. But he said, that's not what I've come for. I didn't come for the world itself, the wilderness itself, these things itself. I came to get what was in the world, and it's for the joy that is in my heart to receive them, that I'm keeping my face set like flint toward Jerusalem. But now this is more you specifically, because I know I got scholars and theologians in this room that are saying, that's the Jews. Okay, fine. This is you. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Because there's hardheads. Right? How many times you got to tell your kids something? They go, again, I tell you. Jesus all the time. Verily, verily. Truly, truly. Again, I'll tell you something. Because I know not everybody gets it the first go. Again, I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a merchant man. And by the way, neither times is the man seeking and searching and finding, the unbeliever becoming a believer by finding the treasure in what we're about to read. Because none of us were seeking God before God saw it and found us. We love him because he first loved us. We respond to his love. And God was never lost, by the way. So none of us found God. I found God. No, you didn't. He's never lost. He found you. You were lost. I was lost. He found us, and he brought us unto himself, and we respond to that. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. He's seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had, and he bought it. That's us. They'd be hearing these things, the apostles, and they would be scratching their heads because in their culture, pearls were really, to them, of no value. They didn't have, it was gems for them that they were after, which are vastly different than pearls. In fact, in the whole Old Testament, the word pearl doesn't even show up except for maybe once in Job 28, verse 18, but the word more literally is translated crystal there, so I don't even know if I would say that it's pearl. So for them, it would be a little bit of a thing of a difficulty. What is this here? It's like finding a pearl. What's the big deal about a pearl? But for those that lived around the Mediterranean Sea, the Gentile people predominantly, they would understand pearls were as much worth as of gold to them back then. And Jesus is saying, and he interprets the parables for us as you read through the Gospels, that this is what I am like. I'm like one who stumbles upon a pearl. It's just this one pearl, this thing of unity. Not many pearls, but one pearl, just like the church. The church finds its greatest worth and value in its unity. Unlike a gem, right, that is faceted and that is carved and is placed and polished. Unlike a gem, you do that to a pearl, you destroy the worth of a pearl. A pearl is unique in that its value is found in its unity of its oneness. And this is what you are like to God, whether you like it or not. Whether you accept it or not, whether you agree or not. Jesus says about you, you are my inheritance. I've given you all these things, but you are my inheritance. Paul says, I pray, God, please let these people understand. And Jesus says, you need to understand. You're like this pearl of great value to me where I already had pearls and I got rid of all those pearls just so I can get this one pearl of great price. I was willing to sell everything, i.e. glory in heaven, presence of God, no sin, no sorrow. I was willing to leave everything and with my blood purchase you. Paul said, you are blood bought. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, beloved. You've been purchased by him. You are not your own. You are his. Therefore, Paul says, glorify him with your body because you're not yours. You don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus, the one who found you and saved you and redeemed you and made you his own. You're like a pearl. You're like a pearl. You say, well, I'm annoying. I'm irritating. Right, that's what a pearl is. Did you know that? A pearl and an oyster, that's how it's formed. Most of you know these things. But a piece of sand gets in there, or even a parasite, they say, gets in the oyster shell. There's a gap in the closing of the shell. It gets in there, and then the shell, the oyster itself, has this ability to release this serum, if you would, where it coats the irritant. The pearl isn't the irritant itself. It's the defense mechanism of the oyster or the clam or whatever it is that the pearl will be in eventually. And it releases this serum, and it coats. This goes on for years, minimally 3 to 5 years. It just releases this serum, and it coats this irritant. And it coats this irritant, and it coats this irritant until it becomes a pearl. And the longer that process goes on for, the bigger the pearl gets. And it's through the, if you're like me, you're rough, the ripping open of the shells. So the oyster has to die or whatever the pearl is in order for that pearl to have its life. It's in that same fashion that as Christ has died, we live. And it's even though we're annoying, even though we're irritating, even though we're bothersome, maybe to most or maybe to many, Christ continues to cover us, clothe us in robes of righteousness, and makes us worthy of his acceptance. Wait a minute. So that when we stand before him, and as we are already seated in heavenly places, we already are before him. All he sees is his perfection. We're his pearl of great price. I'm calling my message this morning Pearl Jam because I'm thinking this through here, and I'm thinking this. When I say something is in my life that I really like or enjoy, I'll say a lot of times to friends, the guys I work with, my wife, whatever, that's my jam. I'll just say that. Like, that's a phrase. Oh, that's my jam. I love that flavor. I like that show. I like that song. That's my jam, right? That's my jam. Listen, you're Jesus's jam. He likes you. He chose you. I already took you through what your spiritual inheritance is in Christ. He chose you. He likes you. He's not surprised by you. He's not looking down and thinking, oh, I just did not know what I was getting into. I didn't know they were going to still talk that way after all those years. I didn't know they were still going to be so hot-tempered. I knew they were Irish. The Italians would never behave that way. The Irish, though, I knew they were Irish. I didn't know they were going to get weird in their 40s, their 50s. I didn't know they were going to have marriage problems. I didn't know they weren't going to raise their kids in the truth. I thought they were going to raise their kids. But, you know, we have all of these things that we hold. How could it be? God says, listen, I already knew. I already picked you. I already chose you. You're mine. I like you. You don't have to be something different. You do that with other people because people are very judgy. They size you up on your appearance. They have these thoughts based on what they just see. I don't do any of that. I don't even look at the outward guy. I don't even notice that zit on your face. I don't even notice you're having a bad hair day. I'm looking at the heart. I love what I'm doing with your heart. And even if you're messing up, and even if you've messed up, I kind of like it because now I'm going to make something beautiful out of you, and that those who've been forgiven much love much. I think you're going to love even more when I get you back. I'm going to get you back because if you're really mine, I'm going to chasten you after a while. So it's not even like a if, I'm gonna get you back. And when you're mine again, well, he even said to Peter, he even said it to David. I love it when the Holy Spirit gives me all this. He even said to David, and he said to Peter, when you are converted, then you go and you strengthen your brethren. Like after you deny me a bunch of times and make a fool out of yourself, then you go and strengthen your brethren because you're going to have something to strengthen them with. David, you've messed up. David, you killed Uriah. David, you had sex with one of your mighty men's wives. But even after that, you're going to go and you're going to teach the sinner, Psalm 51, my way. Now you're ready to do it. See, so that's another thing too here. There's another element. I hope Second Service gets this too because this is special. Listen, that's another thing about this. It's not just this like when you stand before him, you'll be like a pearl pretty and white. Yeah, how cute that message is. What a nice little, you know, story for us here. It's literal. It's this. It's God finds you his inheritance because of all, not first of all, it's because he gets you. I already gave that to you. He gets you. That's all he wants. But it's what he does through you. It's what he's doing through you and what he is going to do through you and what he is doing through you. In that you've suffered, he's going to take your suffering and he's going to reach other people and minister to other people through your suffering. He's making something beautiful out of you. As you are his inheritance, you are bringing others into the fold. By what he's allowed to come into your life and that he's covered you, there's so many things that happen to us that we go through in these 70, 80 years if we're blessed. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. And all of it is God's hand filtering things to better fashion us and shape us and form us so that we can be a living epistle for all men to read and hopefully, by the grace of God, see them too come to Christ the way that we have. You're his inheritance. He has you, and there's nobody else besides you that can replace you. But he also will take you and he will use you in such a way by what he's put into you or what he's allowed to come your way to reach other people for his glory. Does that make sense to you this morning? You are his treasure. You are incredibly loved by God. It defies any human ability of comprehension. There is no comprehension of this in the natural. You can't receive these things. These are things to be seen with spiritual lenses. You can't receive these things and see these things with human eyes. I can keep telling you, guys, please, put your head down, read your Bible, look at this, or look at the screen, read that. That's insane. You can't do that. You can't grab these things with your human eyes. This is a thing of the heart, the soul, that Paul says, God, I beg you, open the eyes of the understanding. That's why we sing that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. God, you got to do this here for these people. Because if we can grab this, Lord, if I can grab this, I struggle with grabbing this. Lord, you can do a lot of setting your people free to walk with you more joyfully, to walk with you more lightly, to walk with you more reverently, that, Lord, you see me this way. Help me to live worthy of this call. You know what I'm saying? I want to live worthy of this call. I am your spiritual inheritance. So we'll pause there because we have to. We'll invite the team up here, and Nick, he's got some announcements to come and share with you guys. But I think that this is a thing here that sometimes, you know, we just need reassurance in. There's a place and time to have a conversation sometimes, not over every little thing, but sometimes for matters like these with somebody who's a spiritual leader, some of the pastors, some of the elders. Because we have these, yeah, but what if? And how could? And what about? We have these things in our lives, and they hold us back from the things that God has for us. And it's unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that. So some of these guys will come forward as the worship begins here in just a moment. And they'll be available. That's what they stand here for. Sometimes I forget to tell you. But that's what they're doing. They're not standing up here because they got a nice outfit on or something. That's rarely the case. They're standing up here. I'm just joking. They're up here to pray with you, to talk with you, to answer your questions. We just want to see as a church, as your pastors, as your elders, we just want to see people set free, liberated, and just enjoying Jesus. There's such a bad taste in so many people's mouths from church experiences and leadership experiences, and you know, either leaders are over-controlling and too much of their opinion comes out and it messes people's perception up of Jesus. Our churches are too loose. They don't even give the word and people don't even know what the Bible says. We just want to stay right in the middle and let you be you and let God be God and give you what God has for you so that you can come close to him and walk with him and experience life and life more abundantly in Jesus. So, Father, I pray that this morning as I leave the stage and I turn it over to your Holy Spirit to finish what's been started. I pray, God, for every person that's here today, like Paul said, I pray that you'd open their hearts, open their spiritual eyes to give them understanding to know how you see us, Lord, what you see when you see us. And Lord, that you'd give us the faith to receive and believe these things, God, that they would be anchors to our soul, motivation just to love you more, God, and to follow hard after you. The suffering that is represented in this room, the loss, the failings that is represented in this room, the brokenness, God, the shame, the handicaps, the guilt, the pain, the weaknesses. Lord, I ask that this morning you would take it all as part of your inheritance, even the sin, break us, bless us, and multiply us. In church, I just want to leave you with this because it's perfect for the title this morning, Pearl Jam. When he gets you his pearl home, Zephaniah 3 says that he will rejoice over you with singing. These guys were singing that last song before I preached, and I was just thinking, man, how lovely this is just to have them sing over us when we're at the body just sort of quiet and letting the worship have its music ministry in our lives. Our faith is a very musical faith, and there's something powerful about it. And I was thinking, what a day it will be when he sings, God, over us, his kids, when he gets us all home. We are literally his pearl jam. Pretty amazing. Rest in his love. Amen. God bless you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.